James, son of Zebedee, son of Thunder, along with brother John, that beloved disciple, and the impetuous Peter, a member of that inner circle of disciples. The three were constantly being pulled aside by Jesus and privileged to witness many awe-inspiring events, and two of those bracket the events of the gospel lesson. The Transfiguration, where there was that glimpse of the glory of Christ, and then also Mount Olives, with the vision of the deepest humiliation of Christ. It was between these two mountain events, as the disciples following their Lord are making their way to Jerusalem, that the events of our text take place, and James, along with John, come before the Lord, knowing of their privileged position, and so they play on that, and they request the honor, one to sit in Christ's right hand, one the left, when he comes into his glory, into his kingdom. That question, displaying an ambition on their part, not necessarily sinful and not expected, but certainly misguided. Not unexpected, because during those weeks between the mountain events, the traveling conversation often went along this line of, who's the greatest among us? And then Jesus would put that to an end by saying, he who would be first must be last and servant of all. Not unexpected when John, in perhaps a face-saving change of subjects, he says, well, Lord, we saw this other fellow, probably from that other seminary, and he was casting out demons in your name, and we stopped him. And Jesus says, no, don't stop him. Those who are not against us are for us. And the question was not unexpected when the disciples were awestruck at how Jesus responded to the rich young man who Jesus told to go and sell all that he had and give it to the poor, and you will have eternal life. And then Peter spoke up and said, well, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. And Jesus said, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Salted throughout these weeks of journey and conversation was the constant refrain from Jesus that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer, die, and rise again. And that's why the question, the ambition, wasn't necessarily wrong on their part, but it was misguided, because they did not understand, they lacked the full understanding of the glory of Christ. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Brother John would, in the days before Jesus' death there in Jerusalem, he would record the words of our Lord as he spoke about his death. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And James would be witness of the Father glorifying his name and revealing the full glory of the Christ. Once again, James would be pulled aside there in the garden, and he would see the sorrow-filled Christ, the Son of God in human flesh, bowed in prayer, struggling with the reality of his Father's will that he should drink the cup of wrath to the final drop. James would flee with the others with the vision of Jesus being bound and dragged off to drink that cup. And James would stand, eyes transfixed on the spike-pierced hands of Jesus, the one that he had just asked for a position of glory and honor himself. And then three nights later, James would be one to see the glory of Christ when the crucified one is alive. That full view of Jesus' full glory, that he is the Son of God in human flesh, submissive to the will of his Father, drinking down the cup of God's wrath in order to serve his Father, to free us from the guilt of our sin, and rise victoriously from the dead. That view of Jesus' glory is the corrective that James needed. James' request for a place of honor should have been a request for a place of humble service. Scripture records for us that James is the first of the 12 to be martyred. It happened in 42 AD under the hands of Herod Agrippa. Tradition adds to that account a story that says that the soldier who brought James out of prison for the execution was so impressed with how James was willing to face death unafraid because of this Christ whose full glory he had witnessed, that the soldier himself confessed faith in Jesus and asked James forgiveness. And James forgave him. And then both James and the soldier knelt and were beheaded. Now, tradition is often blurred and the sight not very clear. But the truth of the glory of the crucified Christ is clear. And it leads you and me today to proper actions and proper questions. Not a jockeying for position, not a question of human greatness, but rather the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? And the Lord answers, by love serve one another. Deacon, a student, seminarian, professor, pastor, it is easy for us too often to be misguided in our motivation for our service within the Church of Christ. Thoughts of inner circle privilege and prestige misdirect us way too often. Knowledge puffs up. Ideas of human greatness are hard to dislodge even in the most sanctified mind. As James needed to learn, so do we. We need to learn of the full glory of Christ. We need to learn, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. When we see someone standing in need, when we look into the eyes of those who are ill, whose hearts are filled with sorrow, who are suffering, we see the image of Christ. And by our helping, by our serving them, we show our gratitude to Christ for his death on our behalf. Such service out of gratitude for Christ's work will be rewarded in the end when Christ returns, and our glory will be revealed. As he says, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But until that day, we serve in humbleness and gratitude, giving of ourselves fully and freely in service to Christ out of thankfulness. St. Paul writes it best, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thus is the life of one who lives in the full glory of Christ, following the calling of the Lord, forsaking all false and worldly allurements. In Jesus' name, amen.